space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to visit planets which have previously been impenetrable because their fields have never seen a mower, to boldly mow where no man has ever mown before. Captain's Albert, stardate 4627.35. Captain's log has now had the Hunchback of Notre Dame's hump grafted onto his back, and up to now there are no side effects.
Yes, what do you mean, no side effects? Ever since I've been ringing this bell.
Well, at least you haven't gone deaf.
What?
Yesterday, the Enterprise was rendered immobile after being hit by a storm of tins of red paint and tins of blue paint. Then, marooned in space. Scotty informed me that our engines seemed to have seized up. I immediately ordered him to get his men to work around the clock, with the result that the clock is now working perfectly. But the engines are still knackered. However, Scotty's men are now working on the engines, and I've told him to pull out all the stops. And I'm about to get an update of the situation. Scotty, how are the repairs coming along? Scotty? Scotty, are you there?
Captain Kirk.
Scotty, I just heard the ship's Wurlitzer organ.
Aye, that's right, Captain. That was me playing it.
But you're supposed to be repairing the engines, Scotty. Why on earth are you playing the organ?
Well, I thought you told me to pull out all the stops.
Scotty's never been the same since he had that heart transplant, has he, Jim?
You're right, Mr. Spock. Maybe as it was Scotty's brain that Dr. McCoy removed, he should have replaced it with another brain. Still, he's got a good heart on his shoulders for all that. And I've...
Captain, may I interrupt?
Yes, what is it, Uhura?
There's something I must do. Gentlemen, I am now going to go to my personal filing cabinet, and once there, I will open each of the drawers in turn and remove something secret from them.
I wonder what's in Uhura's drawers, Jim.
Uhura's bottom.
Damn!
I'm sorry, but I just had to do that, Captain Kirk.
Do what?
Get the joke about my bottom over and done with. It was like it was hanging over me.
I wish it was hanging over me. Are you still there, Scotty?
No, I've never been anywhere near Uhura's bottom, Captain.
Still in the engine room.
I'm still here, Captain.
How are the repairs to the engines coming along?
Not so good, Captain. I tried everything, and I'm at a loss as to what to do next.
But, Scotty, you can't do nothing. You must try something.
Very well, Captain.
Not on the organ, you pillock.
Jim, I've just had an idea.
Spock?
Scotty, play the first seven notes of something again.
Aye, Mr. Spock.
Yes, maybe we can do what they did in Close Encounters of the Third Kind and use music to try to contact other life forms and get them to come to our assistance.
Brilliant, Mr. Spock. Scotty, play repeatedly the first seven notes of something. Uhura, transmit our message on all available communication channels.
Aye, Captain.
Now play it three times, Scotty, and we'll listen for a reply. Any more bright ideas, Mr. Spock?
Yes, but bright is the wrong adjective completely, Jim, as I have just realized where we are.
Where?
Look outside. Observe how dark it is. Do you realize what that means?
Yes. It means that the window cleaner hasn't been for ages.
It means, Jim, that we are in a black hole.
A black hole?
And we could be in great danger.
Why?
Well, Jim, what is all around the black hole?
Thank goodness we've already done the Uhura's bottom joke. I don't know, Spock. Tell me, what is all around a black hole?
The outermost region...
Captain, Captain, I've got something odd on my radio.
Captain's log, get off Uhura's radio and find somewhere else to stay.
No, no, not that. I mean, I picked up two people speaking English in a silly way. Listen, I'll turn it up.
Hey, Dolly Bar, did you notice that big hole where the pencil used to be on your way in that morning?
I did indeed, Evan Boyle. I wonder what caused it.
They are Welshmen.
Captain's log?
They are Welshmen, Captain Kirk, from Wales.
Wales? Spock, what do you know about Wales?
The whale is a fish-like marine mammal of the order Cetacea, the largest of which is known
Spock,
as... Yes?
Don't be such a prat. I meant...
Ah.
Spock, what's the matter?
I've just realized something. Yes, that explains everything. The big hole where the paint store used to be and the Enterprise being hit by paint tins, the Welshman. Jim, we're not on a black hole after all. We're down a coal mine.
Of course. Spock, I've just realized something. If we're already on Earth, we won't have to wait for our engines to be repaired.
That's right. We can simply get Scotty to beam us to the BBC whenever we choose.
Brilliant. Mr. Sulu, tune into the BBC radio, and we'll wait for a suitable moment to interrupt them.
Oh, tuning in, Captain.
Here we are, then, Jane. France. Looks a nice little place through inactive men. Glad we decided to head for it.
I just hope we can get a room, Bernard. I don't know why we couldn't have booked hotels in advance with a travel agent.
Oh, but this is... Oh, and by the way, I'd like you to call me Bernard while we're over here. She's all part of the fun of travelling in France, Jane. Motoring around, stopping wherever and whenever it takes our fancy. I mean, that's why I've learned to speak French, isn't it? That's why I've been taking evening classes every Tuesday for the last 6 months, so that we won't have any language problems, language-wise, vis-a-vis getting a room. here's the receptionist. Just watch this. Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour, monsieur. Vous avez?
Vous avez une chambre, s'il vous plaît?
Oui, monsieur. Vous voulez une chambre avec grand lit ou deux lits avec bain ou WC ou douche et WC avec petit déjeuner, demi-pension ou pension?
Pardon?
Monsieur désire une chambre avec grand lit ou deux lits avec bain et WC ou douche et WC avec petit déjeuner, demi-pension ou pension?
Have they got one?
Ah, you are anglais. English, yes.
Oh, he speaks English good. Have you got a room?
What do you think you're doing?
Asking him for a room, of course.
No, you're not. No. But, I mean, what is the point of me learning how to speak French if you're going to ask him for a room in English?
Well, the man can speak English, can't he? So what's...
Well, I can speak French, can't I?
Yes, but apparently you can't understand it when somebody speaks it to you.
I can.
Well, why do you keep saying pardon, then?
I'm just making sure, aren't I?
If you say so, Bernard.
Bernard. Stop interrupting. See, I'll have to start again now, won't I? Monsieur.
Monsieur.
Vous avez une chambre, s'il vous plaît?
Oui, monsieur. Vous voulez une chambre avec grand lit ou deux lits avec bain et WC ou douche et WC avec petit déjeuner, demi-pension ou pension?
Pardon?
We'd like a room, please, monsieur, with a bath.
I said I'll get it, Jane. I said I'll get it in
French. But you can't understand French, can you, Bernard? So
Bernard! And I can understand French. It's just that I can't understand it at the speed Monsieur Hulot here is speaking it, that's all. I'll have to slow him down a bit. What was that word for speak slowly? Something meant, I think. Yes, something like liniment.
Ointment?
Oh, you want ointment, monsieur. There is a...
In French!
Pardon. Vous désirez du ointment, monsieur. Il y a un pharmacie...
Shut up! Lentement. That's it. That's the word. That's the word to speak slowly. Lentement.
Eh bien, monsieur, lentement. Slowly. Alors, vous désirez ointment, monsieur. Voilà. Écoute bien, idiot. Il y a une pharmacie en face de la porte, tout là-bas.
Ah, now I understand. You see, Jane, when he spoke slowly, he said, you want ointment? There is a chemist's shop opposite the post office.
Yes, but we don't want ointment, do we? We want a room.
I know that. But I'll be able to understand him now I've got him speaking slowly, won't I? Now that I've got him speaking lentement,
oui.
Right, I'll start again from the beginning. Monsieur.
Monsieur.
Vous avez une chambre, s'il vous plaît?
Oui, monsieur. Vous voulez une chambre avec grand lit ou deux lits, avec bain et WC, ou douche et WC, avec petit déjeuner, demi-pension ou pension?
Pardon?
Oh, really, Bernard?
Bernard!
Bernard! He'll be here all day at this rate.
But it's just my fault if he can't talk French properly, is it?
Why? Don't you tell the receptionist exactly what we want, a room with twin beds and a bathroom, and then all he has to say is whether or not he's got one. I'm sure that'll be easier.
Yes, 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 all right then. Monsieur,
monsieur,
je voudrais une chambre avec deux lits et une boîte à lettres.
Pardon?
Now he doesn't understand what I'm talking about.
I'm not surprised you just asked him for a room with twin beds and a letterbox.
Don't talk silly, Jane.
You have. You said une boîte de lettres. That's a letterbox. The bathroom is cabinet de toilette.
Yes, you're right. Well, it's his fault for talking about the post office, isn't it? He got me all confused.
Yeah, monsieur, il y a une boîte à lettres dans la place de Marie. Is a letterbox in the place de Marie.
No, I don't want to know where there's a letterbox. I've just arrived here, haven't I? Why should I want a letterbox?
Well, maybe you want to post home the ointment you are getting from the pharmacy.
I'm not getting any ointment from the pharmacy, you stupid...
Bernard!
Bernard!
Will you, for pity's sake, please get us a room?
Monsieur!
Monsieur?
I'd like a room with two beds and a bathroom, please.
Oh, oui, monsieur. And I hope you and madame enjoy your stay in Ploganek.
Ploganek?
Mm-hmm, Ploganek.
Oh, we thought this was Pluinik. Come on, Jane, bring the bags. We're in the wrong town.
Well, our couple touring in France for the very first time didn't make a very auspicious start to their holiday, did they? And next week in Wish You Were Here, Bernard's French lets him down again. We see how the road to Rouen becomes the road to ruin when he visits a hypermarket to buy 5 bottles of Bourgogne and ends up with 50 bottles of Big Onions. And now here's John Carter with more news of next week's program.
Thank you, Judith. Well, next week is, of course, a bank holiday, and I personally will be having the day off. But Judith and the show's producer won't be having it off. No. They'll be doing a special report on Turkey, that mysterious, exotic land perched between east and west, land of honey-colored, deserted beaches that are quite simply 1,000 miles of paradise, land of unspeakably beautiful scenery, magnificent azure sky dawns and awe-inspiring sunsets, where breathtaking flora is part of the everyday scene and beauty is reduced to commonplace. Where one day one can maybe sail up the reeded banks of the Timus River Cocegius to ancient Kornos, which boasts a veritable necropolis of Lycian temple tombs, a Roman amphitheater which gives the impression that time has stood still, and an unfortunate native of Turkey who's so dim that the only job he can hold down is writing scripts for holiday programs. And next week we'll be featuring something that I'm sure every last one of our viewers will enjoy when Annika Rice visits Kurdistan and gets strangled. And now to our next item, in which we will be featuring the work of a holiday courier. Here we see her greeting a party of new arrivals to their hotel in the Costa del Sol. Or do we?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hotel Superior Majestic. My name is Michelle, and...
My name is Danny Sid. And this is my wife,
Fanny. And we hope that this holiday is going to be as enjoyable as our last one, don't we, Danny? When we went cemetery spotting.
Cemetery. We would like to ask you about the beaches, Michelle.
Yeah.
You see, Fanny is a bit worried about them after what happened to her in Majorca.
Yeah, what happened to me in Majorca?
Majorca.
Why? What happened?
You tell her, Fanny.
Well, we went to the nudist beach, and I was lying down on the sand when this handsome beach Romeo fell on top of me.
And
I had to have something removed.
Well, I'll start again, shall I? Welcome to the Hotel Superior Majestic. My name is Michelle, and I am your Cheap Med Holidays representative. Now, I don't know your names yet, but I do recognize some of you from the airport bus, where I noticed many of you studying your Spanish phrase books in readiness for your holiday on the Costa del Sol. city you ended up in Turkey, isn't it? But then that is, of course, one of the small disadvantages you sometimes get when booking one of our special micro-budget holidays. But there are advantages too, one of them being that here at Maradasi Beach, you have come to one of the more unspoiled parts of Turkey. And I'm sure that you'll very soon find it quite fun finding your way through the lush vegetation with your cheap Med Holidays complimentary machete to the nearest village, just 31 miles away. Now, the older ones amongst you might find that the sea being a further 18 miles away at the other side of an active volcano a little bit inconvenient at first. But you'll all soon come to love it here at Maradasi Beach, I'm sure, handy as it is for the shop and the Turkish Army rocket testing grounds. Now, if you do venture into the village, you will find that the villagers who live there are very, very friendly indeed. And on seeing you, will always greet you with a big smile and invite you to smell their goat's groin. This is a very old local custom, and if you decline to smell their goat's groin, you will offend them deeply. I find that a bit of lavender or perfume toilet soap poked in each nostril prior to venturing into the village helps. Now then, food. Be sure to sample all the authentic Turkish food that is offered you. But, word of warning here, if you find that something is over chewy, make sure that it is in fact food that you're eating, because last week a little girl left her flip-flops by the side of the pool. And she got mistaken for two squids. And the little girl had to spend the rest of her holiday wearing a squid on each foot. Ha 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 ha. That was a joke. That's about it then, and I hope you all have a lovely time over the next 2 weeks, as I'm sure I'll be having on my holiday on the Isle of Capri. Thank you.
The holiday courier, the sort of person who needs to have only slightly less optimism than a birth pill salesman in a nunnery. And after the break, we'll be asking the question, at holiday times, has airspace at Heathrow Airport reached saturation point following the news that after his plane circled for over an hour waiting for room to land, one of the passengers got out and walked down. So join us for part two after the break.
A colour, please.
Clear off, sir.
What?
Look, you can stand there all day, but no way am I serving you with a colour.
Why not?
Because you're not good looking, are you?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Oh, come on, you must have seen the adverts on the telly. Only good-looking people drink cola. And you are a long way from being good-looking, aren't you?
Oh, I'll have a diet cola then.
Oh, no, you won't.
Why won't I?
Because you're fat, aren't you? Only people with slim, healthy bodies drink diet cola.
Yeah, well, I'll have a slim, healthy body if I drink diet cola, won't I? Because if I just drink diet cola, I'll lose weight, won't I?
You'll lose weight if you just drink ordinary cola, because I'm not serving you.
Right then, I shall just have to drink this glass of cola that somebody's left, shan't I?
Put that down.
Why should I?
Because you are not good-looking and decidedly un-cola drinker-like. I mean, what am I, a slim, healthy, good-looking, windsurfing, karate expert, towel-wearing customer's going to think if they come in here and see a fat, ugly twannock like you drinking cola? I'll never sell them another cola again.
Well, I don't care what they say. I promise myself that I'm going to try a cola, and I'm going to try one. So, there. Oh, God. Give us a pint of bitter, will you?
Drink beer. The drink you don't have to be pretty to drink.
It's here, it's now, it's immediate. It's a Pillock doing the voiceover for a commercial for your soar-away son. With lots of shots in bright primary colors of gormless birds in bikinis who have nothing whatsoever to do with the commercial, and TV personalities who will do anything for the money, pretending that they read The Sun. And don't forget that next week is National Health Week in your soar-away son. That's right, each and every day we'll be featuring a brand new Sun-sponsored innovation which will benefit the nation's health, including on Tuesday, a new idea in holidays for the many handicapped people who are over 17 but under 31. Our Clubfoot 1830 camp. And on Thursday, The Sun gives each and every one of its readers who have angina the chance to win a bypass operation. That's right, The Sun's team of dedicated surgeons will operate on the lucky winner on the Kingston Bypass. Also, in The Sun next week, we present...
We present the 17th minute of the show, and tonight it is my very great pleasure to introduce Mr. Jasper Carrot. Have you
you ever noticed that I always start off my monologue by saying, have you ever noticed? I mean, have you ever noticed how often I keep saying, I find that really boring? I mean, I find that really boring. The way I keep saying, I find that really boring. I do. But what really gets up my nose, even more than me keep on saying, have you ever noticed, and I find that really boring, is the way I sit here on a stool with my eyes bulging out of my head like some demented frog and shout at the top of my voice like some bloody lunatic. But what really gets up my nose, even more than me sat on a stool shouting, is the way I keep jerking about all the time. Have you ever noticed? Well, I do. I've seen whirling dervishes with piles jerk about less than I do. I have. I find that really boring, the way I sit on a stool shouting and jerking and telling people about the things I've noticed and what it is about them that's really got up my nose. To tell you the truth, I'm becoming a very boring person. Have you ever noticed? Well, I'm not bothered, because for once and for all, it's put a stop to the lifetime problem I've had with moles in my garden. Because at the first sign of any mole, I sit on a stool on my lawn and jerk and shout about 5 minutes of me act. And that shifts the little sods like nobody's business. Good night.
Mr. Jasper Carrot, ladies and gentlemen, reminding us that the city of Birmingham has provided us with at least one great comedian, Tony Hancock. And now back to that Pillock doing the Sun commercial.
Your opportunity to place a Valentine's Day message in the Sun for only half the normal price. Simply come along to the Sun's office and say,
I'd like to place a Valentine's Day message, please.
Certainly, I'll just get my crayon. Right, here we are. What would you like to say?
To my darling Jenny, lots of love, Dave.
To my darling Jenny Pools, lots of love.
Jenny. Just Jenny, thank you.
No Pools?
No.
Oh, righto then. To my darling. Look, it's no extra for the Pools, you know.
I don't want a Pools, thank you very much.
All right. Okay. To my darling Jenny, lots of love. Davey Wavy.
Dave.
Dave?
Yes, and another thing. You don't spell lots of love like that either.
Yes, you do. L-O-T-Z-A-L-U-V. Lots of love.
Yes, well, when I went to school, it was three separate words. Lots, of, and love. So I'd like that, please.
Oh, you're paying for it, I suppose. So that's to my darling Jenny, mega squidgens of love, Dave.
Lots of love.
Oh, look, mega squidgens is another way of saying lots.
It's not on my Valentine's Day message.
Oodles of squidgens of love.
Lots of love.
Lots of squidgens?
Just lots of love.
To my darling Jenny, lots of love, Dave, he doodled on doos.
What?
No, nothing.
What have you written down?
Let me see.
My name is not Davy Doodly Dum Doo.
Look, come on. This is a Valentine's Day message. People always use silly names.
Well, I don't.
Oh, come on. It's only a bit of fun.
No, it isn't. Using silly names is stupid and childish, so I'll just thank you to put to my darling Jenny, lots of love, Dave, if you don't mind.
Very well, then. Yes, all right. There you are. And your full name and address, please?
Mr. David J. Droopy Draw.
Get lost.
Stop this sketch.
What?
Wait a minute. You're Captain Kirk, aren't you?
I am.
Hey, look, everybody. It's Captain Kirk and the rest of the Star Trek crew. They've just materialized.
And who might you be?
Me?
Yes.
I'm Geoffrey Holland. And these other people, who are they?
Oh, well, I'm Fred Harris. Hello,
Fred. I've always wanted to meet you. I am Captain's Log.
Oh, very pleased to meet you, Captain's Log.
The pleasure is all mine.
And my name is Chris Godwin. And you must be Mr. Spock, of course.
Yes. Haven't we met somewhere before?
And I'm Uhura. Uhura. I'm Susie Blake. You're not as dark as I thought you would be.
They seem pleasant enough sorts, don't they, Captain?
Yes, although I'm not too sure about Geoffrey Holland. That innocent, boyish look doesn't fool me.
I agree, Jim. That Chris Godwin looks a bit of a pranic as well.
Well, now that the introductions are over, what do you want, Captain Kirk?
We are here to interrupt your show.
Interrupt our show?
Just as you have interrupted our missions for the past 6 weeks. Now, how do you like it?
Oh, I don't mind.
Well, me neither. I was getting a bit fed up with it anyway.
Me too.
Right. Well, who fancies a pint then?
Oh, right, you're on. We'll join you.
Okay, come on.
Oh, wait.
Yeah?
Where are you going?
To the pub. Look, you can do the rest of the show. Look, here's the script. There's just a caper and sketch to do. And the final credits, that's about it.
You want us to perform a sketch?
That's right, yeah.
But I can't act.
It's never stopped you before.
Oh, come on, Jim, it might be fun. I'll play the part of Og, and you and the rest of the crew can play the other caveman parts. Here you are. Look, see, midway down page 36. Ready?
Right. Here we are, then, folks. We've got something new for us to try.
Oh, what have you come up with this time, Og?
Herbs, they're called, Mog. Herbs. I think they could be very useful for improving the taste of our food.
Oh, good, yeah. Something like that would be handy, because brontosaurus stew can be a bit bland sometimes, can't it?
Yeah. Now, I've got four herbs for us to try. That's one each, and I've given them all names. So, here, Tog, you can try the parsley.
Right, Og.
I'll try the tarragon. You can try the rosemary, Mog.
Oh, this is a pretty one.
And you, Bog, you can try the hemlock. I want you all to add your herb to your brontosaurus stew tonight, then we'll all meet...
Just a minute.
Yeah, Bog?
Why is it me who's got the hemlock?
Well, what's wrong with you testing the hemlock?
Well, I don't know, but there'll be something wrong with it. There always is. I always get the dodgy things to try.
What do you mean, Bo?
Well, like the time you invented weapons for warding off ferocious bears. And Mog tested the big stone club. Tog tested the spear. You tested the bow and arrow. And I tested the windmill on a stick. I was in dock for 6 months after that bear had finished with me.
I don't think you got the best out of your weapon, Bog.
What, a windmill on a stick?
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do with it? Stick it up the bear's behind and have the wind to blow it away? No, I'm being had for a sucker.
No, you aren't, Bog.
Yes, I am. I mean, I was called Nog until Og invented bathroom facilities.
You're just imagining it, Bog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What about when you invented birth control, then?
Birth control?
You know, we were testing things to stop us having children. You tested the condom. Mog tested the birth pill. Tog tested the spermicidal gel. And I tested a barrel of live crabs with a hole bored in
it. Well, it worked, didn't it? I mean, you didn't father any children that day, did you?
You never have to father any children again! I mean, I wouldn't mind so much, but it's every time. I always cop for it.
No, it just isn't true, Bog.
What about that when you invented riding last week? When you tested the horse, Mog tested the donkey, Tog tested the camel, and I tested the crocodile.
Look, Bog, nobody's sorrier than I am that the crocodile bit your legs off.
Nobody's sorrier.
Nobody.
Well, I mean, what use am I now, eh? I'm finished now, aren't I? I'm good for nothing now, aren't I?
Well, of course you're not, Bog. In fact, you'll be perfect for the next thing we're going to try out. Football. Football? Football, yeah. When I'll be the centre forward, Mog will be the centre half, Tog will be the goalkeeper, and you'll be one of the goalposts.
You have been listening to Star Trek 2, starring Christopher Godwin, Jeffrey Holland, Susie Blake, Fred Harris, Captain James T. Kirk, Mr. Spock, Uhura, and Captain Zlog.
You have been listening to Star Trek 2, starring some people who would sound a lot less happy than they do if they had to live in Sweden like I do.
The show was written by Terry Ravenscroft.
The show was written by somebody who has been doing the credits in a different foreign language each week, but this week was too lazy to go to the public library to borrow an English-Swedish dictionary.
And produced by Martin Fisher.
And produced more by good luck than good judgment.
Next week.